American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyard, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, and it is the 14th day. Oh, that's right, the day before tax day, April 14th, 2005. Everybody getting ready to pay their taxes out there? My wife has admonished me for saying on air that, you shouldn't tell people you don't pay federal income tax. All right, I won't tell people I don't pay federal income tax. I know, Sandra, you're listening right now, so I know that made your day. At any rate, in studio with us, Desi Andrews, and Mr. Peace, her son, is here, and we'll be talking. I think his mic is hot. Is his mic hot? Let's check your mic.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, you're hot.
Just pull it. His ears aren't.
Your ears aren't hot?
No, no ears.
Well, there you go.
There we go. And you also have a volume control on your line there, too. So you can adjust to your comfort listening level.
Thank you.
At any rate, we're going to be talking about, what have we been talking about today?
Well, Rhett wanted to talk about peace and what's happening on that front, but we had a special guest, and I hope he gets here soon, to talk about war.
Okay.
And
I was just going to say, and this is the guy that... they just did they confiscate him too, or just his property?
Well, they took his car and then threw him in jail, and they hauled him over to Austin first, didn't they?
No, he went straight to Cedar Park. This is a Cedar Park operation.
Hmm. Okay, and then they took him over to Williamson County,
right,
to Georgetown.
Yeah, they have. Of course, they can hold you in Cedar Park for 8 hours with nothing, but then then we go to the big joint.
Well, that's when you start writing out your writ of habeas corpus on the local matchbook cover. All right, folks, we'll return here with Desi and the Rhett. Yeah, but I was just going to say, Rhett, that you've got to relay your story about you've been taken prisoner lately. We'll do that right after this break.
Wait a My doctor was truly amazed at the improvements my heart showed after my heart attack. Thank you, Cardivite.
I was having a hard time breathing and had to rest in the afternoons, but since Cardivite, that's all changed now.
I've had chronic fatigue for 12 years now and decided to try Cardivite. Boy, it's improved my energy dramatically.
Cardivite.
We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heartthrob 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
At 11:40 p.m. on April the 14th, 1912, while plowing recklessly through an ice field, the HMS Titanic collided with an iceberg. 2 hours later, she was resting on the bottom. Today, you honor similar ship, the USS America. She, too, is plowing through history, promoting reckless fiscal and monetary policies amid tides of terrorism that threaten our security, and there is a storm brewing as if even nature was against us. Like the Titanic, we're on course with a similar destiny. The question is, what are you going to do? Hop aboard our well-provisioned lifeboat with Ready Reserve Foods. Contact Ready Reserve Foods and ask how you can prepare your family with the basic survival needs. Call 1-800-453-2202 for great tasting, dehydrated foods that require no refrigeration and keep preserved for years. Preparedness never made more sense than it does today. Call 1-800-453-2202 and stock your lifeboat.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back, and Desi is out of studio for a second here. Rhett Pease is Desi's son. And what exactly did happen to you? What was it, last week or the week before?
Well, I guess it was the 17th of last month that I was escorted back into the Lee County Jail by one of the sheriffs. And it was for criminal trespass on my own property. And that happened in 1999. And the story behind it is that when I bought my property, I was making the payments, and they switched over to a new mortgage servicer. And the new mortgage servicer looked at the paperwork and saw that they couldn't, had no security agreement. And so they began sending, first off, they started putting the payments in a special account, and then they started sending the payments back. And
Now, this was your property.
Right. This is my house.
Now, what was the deal? Who was in that property? Was it you, or was it you renting it, or what were you doing with that?
Well, I was living there.
Okay.
And buying it. He had a mortgage on it.
I had a mortgage on it, and I was living there with my wife and two kids. And
he was paying the payments.
And making the payments. And The mortgage company went into court, and they asked for a non-judicial judicial ruling on a non-judicial foreclosure.
After they sent his payments back, and then accelerated.
And the upshot of the thing was, is when we got into court, they had my wife in there, too. And when I bought the house, I didn't want her making the payments on it. I didn't want her liable for the payments. So I made sure that she didn't sign the note.
Right.
And the note that they claimed that they had was the one that she signed. And so we got in front of the judge, and I kept explaining, you know, well, she didn't sign the note, and the note they're claiming is not the same note. And so he ruled that no valid foreclosure took place, but that they're the owners of the property anyway. And so that was the end of that.
So all your interest in that property, all the monies that you paid into it, were in effect just wiped out by this judge.
No, not really, because there are two forms of title. You have possessory rights and you have legal rights.
Right.
So yeah. He ruled that the mortgage company had the legal right, but Ray had the possessory rights.
But that also got rid of about $55,000 worth of equity that I had in the house.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. Everything
right.
You had into it, you just lost it. Now, where does this comp come in? Now,
well,
there was
so then what happened was that. Because the mortgage company, you can only go to court one time, and they had their one big shot. And so while they were determined the owners of the property, I was still in possession of the property. So then they saw that they had a problem, and they didn't want to go back in front of the same judge who'd already ruled that they didn't have the note in the first place.
Right.
So they went over to Barbara Bembry's court.
Precinct 2.
Precinct 2. And for a forcible detainer. And they didn't bring in any kind of paperwork showing they held the note. They didn't bring anything in. And it looked like they were having a problem. So the attorney called up Barbara Bembry and said, I'm a member of the Republic of Texas.
Rhett, not the attorney.
Yeah. And that was that's all that needed. And so I got in front of the Barbara Bembry. I call her Barbara the bitch. And she...
tell me, Rhett, had you ever been to a Republic of Texas meeting?
No, have not ever once been ever into one. But so she said the only thing they were going to talk about was the law. And so I said, well, I'd like to talk about the property code. And she said, shut up.
You got to hear the tape. Shut up.
And she said, okay, they get the possessory rights. And I said, fine, I want to appeal. So I put up the appeal, and she refused to move the appeal up to the other court. And in the meantime, what I didn't know was going on behind the scenes was that somebody evidently made a bomb threat on the Precinct 2 building. And they evacuated the Precinct 2 building, and the bomb threat was made to the probation office. And they don't have any kind of caller ID or anything. And so... when they were all out in the parking lot, Barbara Bembry standing out in the parking lot with my file in her hand, and she tells the police I was the one that made the bomb threat. She had no knowledge of she. There was no recording of this. There's no anything of that.
So it is true that you do have the judge, jury, and executioner all in one neat little package.
Absolutely.
You don't even need a prosecutor to prefer charges, or at least on a presentment of indictment that they at least do a cursory study to see if they can. They can nail you with something.
Yep.
Well, so what went on was that the police, unbeknownst to me, they came out to the house and they started talking to me and they said, are you violent or anything? And I said, no. And they asked where I was at a specific time. And I said, well, I was standing in front of a judge down at the courthouse. And so nothing else came of it. And it was only through Texas Open Record Act later that I got to see that Bembry had said that I'd made a bomb threat. So I got really upset about that, and I sued her. Well, in between all of this, the constables came out to evict me. And so I said, you know, I've appealed this. And they say, well, the appeal's not going anywhere because Barbara Bembry said, do not move it up. And so... the constable said, Bob Vann, he said that if I didn't get all my stuff out of the house, he was going to put back a van up there and he was going to put it in a van and I'd never see it again. So I went home and moved all the stuff out. And I've later seen a 14-page report that the constables had, that they had a mover that was going to accompany them on the move out. And he went by and he reported back to the constables. He called in on the phone. He said, hey, we've got big trouble here. They're moving the stuff out.
Yeah, they wanted some big shootout confrontation. We have no idea.
So when they finally did show up, they showed up with 18 police officers. They barricaded off a 3-square block area, and this was right when school was letting out, and they wouldn't let any of the kids go home to any of the houses in the neighborhood.
We have a terrorist in the neighborhood here. We're locking it down.
Exactly. They had 9 constables that showed up. And a mover shows up with 5 guys in the back of the truck to get all the stuff, what's left in the house, to get that moved out. And so I was over at the neighbor's house, and unbeknownst to me, when I went into the neighbor's house, one of the constables told one of the APD people to give everybody there a criminal trespass warning, even though nobody was on the property.
Yeah, on the neighbor's property.
And that's where my problem started, because I wasn't present when the criminal trespass warning was given. And also my wife, who was also owner of the property, she was never cited, served, never had to appear in court. And they said that an order against me was as good as an order against her as well. And so actually, in reality, they've never taken her possessory interest other than by the end of the gun. And so as they're doing their move out and all of that, I told my neighbor, I said, go over there and write down that guy's license plate, so I'll file a lien on his truck tomorrow. And so my neighbor was over writing down the license plate, and the mover sees that, and he runs around, and he tackles Kent and starts beating him up under the watchful eye of the constables.
So this is felonious license plate taking down.
That's right. Okay. That was the crime.
Well, I think that...
Well, he was a tad bit drunk, the mover.
Oh.
That came out later in the report that when the constables, when they brought him onto the property, they smelled alcohol on his breath, and then they allowed him to drive up there with 5 guys in the back of the truck. So,
well, I mean, you can drive drunk on private property. I mean, right? Even though it's not your property anymore, according to them.
Well, but it was from, they met him at the 7-Eleven, and he was driving down on public streets with people in the back of the truck. So.
Well, I mean, for this little caper of cleaning somebody's house out, you don't want any witnesses in court, so get him as drunk as you possibly
Absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he couldn't testify in court because he was inebriated.
So when the assault took place, the police had already left, and so the constable said, well, you know, they went over and they tried to talk the neighbor out of pressing charges.
Right. They were screaming, assault, assault. And Rhett said, call the police. And Bob Vann said, now, Rhett, let's be reasonable. Of course.
At this point in time.
Of course, Bob Vann never handed him any paperwork.
We got a crooked judge that doesn't pass your, blocks your appeal. You got the cops showing up with drunk movers. You got them issuing orders about criminal trespass when you're not there. And, okay. So
let's be reasonable,
let's
Rhett.
Let's be reasonable.
So the policeman says, you know, isn't this the place that we were just at? And I said, yeah, it is. And he said, is it Pease that did that? And I said, no, it was the guy that the constables brought. And he said, I want to talk to Bob Vann now. And I tried to hand the phone to Bob Vann, and Bob Vann said, I don't want to talk to the police. And so...
scurried like cockroaches.
Well, first off, so I told the policeman, I said, hey, he doesn't want to talk to you. And he said, put him on the phone now. And I said, he's pretty insistent. He wants to talk to you. And he said, I told the policeman, I said, he's not going to talk to you. And he said, you tell him I'll be there in 5 minutes. And at that point, Bob Vann had all the constables go over and help the mover unload his truck and told him to get out of there. And then all of the constables immediately got in all of their vehicles, and they took off. I lived in Lamplight Village, and it was only 2 blocks from the police station.
Wait a minute. So this Zant guy, now who's he?
Vann.
Bob Vann.
Bob.
Constable at Precinct 2.
Okay, he was a constable.
He still is.
Still is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had their best year ever this year. This was in 1999.
Decorated hero.
Yeah, he got an award that year,
mm-hmm.
Constable of the Year.
Mm. And of course, he hasn't beat up anybody else in town like he beat you up. Well, see, what they do is they just erase you from memory.
Yeah.
It basically is what they do. If they have what they perceive as a troublemaker in their midst, they'll deny you legal process. They'll deny you anything, and you're out on your keister out on the street corner with no home. You know, what effect can you be?
I mean,
you're
going to
be
really
scrambling around
and
looking
and
for shelter.
I can't figure how you got that way, because he never did anything violent.
But let's be reasonable. All right, we'll take the break. We'll be back on the other side in studio, Desi Andrews and her son, Rhett's piece, and well, folks, it's just criminal actions here.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, we're back. We have another criminal in studio here. We're going to turn this into Ma Barker Gang and Friends today. Rhett, if you would, continue with your story. Let's wrap that up. And then Dan here just got forfeited from, separated from his property today.
Yesterday, 2 days ago.
2 days ago? I'm sorry. I thought it was today.
So the upshot to mine is that after the constable came out and brought the drunk out here, and they all took off down the road, that's a breach of the peace, and the Uniform Commercial Code says that at that point on, they are trespassing. So what they have to do at that point is they have to go. That's the end of mine. Or, that's mine.
That was yours.
That's mine. Okay.
You're now
good. Now I'm good. No, I'm okay now.
You're good. Okay. we're adjusting headphones, folks.
then I find out that Barbara Bembry's the one that's behind all this. So I decide to sue her. And so I start suing her, and the first thing that happens is I get two guys from the Travis County SWAT team come out to the house, and they want to arrest me. And the reason they want to arrest me is that this happened like about a year after the after the thing was going on, and they said that they're going to arrest me for the bomb threat. And it turns out that without ever previously having been arrested, and no complaint, they said it was a no-complaint indictment in front of the grand jury.
No-complaint indictment.
And so, osmotically, what? They're having breakfast in town and a group of people just jump up and say, what?
No,
it was rubber stamped by the jury.
It appears that the grand jury never met. It appears that the district attorney decided he was going to take out a member of the Republic of Texas, and so he went ahead and he just rubber stamped this. And so when they came out to get me, I said, no, I'm not going with you, and I walked back in the house. And this is my wife was about, I think she was about eight months pregnant at the time. And so they jump on my back and they tackle me and they get me down under the, and they pushed my head down under the couch and I can't breathe. And finally I decided I've had enough and I need to take a breath of air. So I lift it up and then they say that's resisting arrest.
Well, they were going to squirt the stuff
and,
too.
And then the guy gets out the pepper spray and he's going to pepper spray. And my wife said, no, you're not.
Not in my house, baby.
And so then they take me outside. They won't let me have any shoes or anything and haul me off down to jail for making this bomb threat. So then we go in to the judge, and who's John Wizard. He's one of the fairer judges down there, and they want to fast-track this thing. And they're going to get me in front of him. And this is a felony, by the way. So
What, resisting?
No. The making the bomb threat.
Oh, making the bomb threat.
In a public building.
The one you didn't make. Because you were in front of the judge.
Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right.
And the one that the Austin Police Department investigated and didn't press charges.
You know, this sounds like a Hollywood script only written by a schizoid.
I tell you what, I have encouraged him to write a book because this is one of the most fascinating stories you will ever hear. This is better than Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz and all that stuff because it just never ends.
And so what happens is my civil suit against Bembry gets put on hold because they're going to get me fined, because all they need to do is just find me guilty of making the bomb threat, and then what she said was true. So we go to court and...
Okay, I see how that happens. you didn't make the threat. They'll fast-track, railroad you, and then get you in jail on this trumped-up charge, and then everything else goes away.
Right.
You know, forget the fact that you're an innocent person.
Has nothing to do with it whatsoever.
You're just a troublemaker from Republic of Texas.
And forget about the fact that they didn't have a complaint. And forget about the fact that they never had a probable cause hearing or arrested me or had. I had no idea that this was even going. The judge kept saying, how come this has taken so long to get here? And I was, you know. And so they had a special envoy from the United States Justice Department who signed on to the district attorney's office just for this case.
Well, now we have federal oversight on this fiasco. Okay?
Absolutely.
Well, you just have more and more culpable parties here in which to sue.
And so we have the trial, and the constables forged and filed documents stating that the time that they were there was at 1 o'clock. When in fact they were there at 11, and then they got out a video, and the guy says, "Hey, we can't come back. The reason that we figured out that the time was 11 instead of 1 is the guy says we can't come back then because I got to go eat."
Yeah, he said we'll come back in an hour, and he said, "No, you can't come back then. It's lunchtime." Oh, okay.
But what they were trying to do is they were trying to say that I was so desperate that I was down in front of the judge, and then I got away from the judge and went and made a phone call. And so, anyway,
keep from being evicted, you say.
Anyway, because the judge was fair about it, he finally, the prosecutor, when it looked like it was going downhill for him, he really started getting angry with me. And he said, you know, Your Honor, Mr. Pease is testifying, because I was representing myself. And he said, Mr. Pease is testifying. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, Your Honor. And he just went on and on. And finally, the judge said, Mr. McDonald, get hold of yourself.
Well, if you're representing yourself in court, you can testify on your own behalf.
Well, he was very upset about that.
I see. This must have been the guy that invented the phrase, the person that has represents himself as a fool for a client.
So I was found not guilty, and he was furious then. I mean, he went absolutely livid when they came back, and he polled the jury. And
I want this jury polled, and every one of them stood up and said, my name is so-and-so, and I find Mr. Pease not guilty.
So at least we had a good jury on this deal.
Oh,
otherwise,
you better believe
it. Be appealing this from jail right now.
Right.
Okay, we got a break. We'll be right back.
listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my graying hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Do you want to plant a garden that just keeps on giving year after year? Then visit the Ark Institute and find out about their all-natural vegetable seeds. Now, these aren't hybrids. They're not genetically engineered. They're the real thing. And you'll grow the best produce you've ever grown. Not only that, you can save seeds from this year's garden and plant them next year. Now, here's the deal. The Ark Institute is offering Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirloom seeds, plus their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. A complete family food security package is just $99, and remember, shipping is free. Oh, you'll have enough for canning and freezing and fresh eating and some seeds for next year. Now that is food security. Call the Ark Institute, 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com. Do it today.
Tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Oh, we're having so much fun in studio today. It's more than should be allowed on radio, folks.
And just so people will know, we're going to talk about all these criminals and all this stuff, and then we're going to get to solutions.
Yeah,
so.
And here's the deal. We are criminals. Okay, the listeners out there understand that everybody seated in this broadcast booth right now, they're all criminals in the eyes of the... Shall we dare call them law? Do we have another word for them?
No, they're agencies. In the eyes of the agents.
The mafia.
The enforcers.
The enforcers. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Rhett.
All right. So the basis of the deal is once they found me not guilty of the felony, then I only had to face the resisting arrest and the criminal trespass charge.
You mean attempting to breed?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened there was Gisela Triana was the judge on that, and she... in the meantime, while this was going on, I had sued the police officer who arrested me for the criminal trespass in the first place, and she saw that she had done something wrong, and she quit the force and moved out of state. So the complainant was not, and they also said, by the way, that she was the owner of the property.
Right.
That's what the complaint was, is that she owned the property. And so after...
3 years.
It was October 1st when the arrest happened, and on March 26th, 2002...
October 1st, 1999.
Yeah. And on March 26th, 2002... they realized that they weren't going to be able to get her in for trial. So they said, not to worry. What we'll do is we'll just change the names and give it and make these other folks the owner.
Yeah.
Scratch, scratch.
New owner.
Rewrite. Yeah.
And it was scratch, scratch, rewrite. But who scratched it out was the judge, not the prosecutor.
Yeah, the judge said to the prosecutor, don't you have some people that you could put in there for substitute? And he said, yeah. And she said, well, you do that.
Well,
and he said, Your Honor, why don't you do it?
Yeah, why? No kidding. Why don't you just write Ronald McDonald or whatever in there?
Well, so after she wrote in the new people, then I said, well, Your Honor, you know, that really doesn't reflect the right date. Would you mind signing and dating that? And she said, oh, no problem. So she signed and dated it as well. And So therefore, you know, there was a lawyer in there. He said that was the slickest piece of lawyering I've ever seen.
Well, it's not really lawyering. It's the judge just doing whatever
she
wants.
No, for Rhett to incriminate the judge.
Oh,
but, of
okay.
course, it doesn't do any good because where are you going to take her?
Because on an you have to have an information supported by a complaint. Now, you had a complaint that had named the one lady. Now, you had an information that named these other people. And then you have to have an information that's presented by an attorney, and it was
now
presented
by
the
judge.
That black thing that keeps getting in your way talking to me, that happens to be the microphone. You got to keep speaking into that. Okay.
Sorry about that.
I know you're not used to radio.
So,
but you're no stranger to the inside of courtrooms, I can tell.
So after 3 years or so, 4 years, we finally go to court, and what happened was is the Gisela Triana, she finally recused herself for bias and prejudice, and they brought a judge up from Temple, and we were ready to go to court, and he looked at the file and he said he wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole, and he walked out. And then finally they found a retired
he won't be invited back.
they found a retired judge who wanted a job over here. He'd just moved to Wimberley from Houston. And he wanted a job with Travis County, and he said, I'll try it. And so we went in, and they basically said, the prosecutor basically said, the previous judge has already made the decision that he's guilty. And we went in, and he brought on all these witnesses and all of that. And
Rhett was gagged. They had a motion in limine. Rhett could never – now, the prosecutor could ask him about anything, and if it had to do with the eviction, Rhett couldn't cross-examine him. So the prosecutor only asked about the eviction, so Rhett couldn't cross-examine.
And so Sam Robertson –
So you're still representing yourself.
Actually, in this case, I asked for him to assign me counsel, and the judge said no.
Yeah, when he saw what was coming, he said, I don't understand this. I need an attorney.
Let's slow down. This is taking a while to seep into my brain here. So you asked for assistance of counsel.
No, he asked for an attorney even. I mean, he went right past assistance of counsel.
All right. You asked for the attorney. The judge said no. So then that would then make you representing yourself in this case.
Mm-hmm. I had to.
But you had to. Of course, the judge wouldn't even allow you assistance.
And he gagged him.
And then gagged you and wouldn't let you cross-examine and ask questions about this.
And then when I went to put my witnesses on, the same witnesses that saw the assault, the same witnesses that got me off of the felony, the judge said, you cannot. First, he told the jury I would have the witnesses after lunch. And then he came back and he said, I'm not going to let you put any witnesses on either.
Yep, no witnesses. And you can't tell the jury.
This judge wanted a job bad, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was there to show him what a good job he could really do for him.
And so to make a long story short, at the end of the thing, he decides to give me the penalty, too. So he gives me the maximum amount allowed under the law.
This is a misdemeanor.
This is a Class B misdemeanor. It's one step above a traffic ticket. So he gave me 180 days in jail and a $1,000 fine.
But, well, then to keep you on ice so you don't make any more trouble for 6 months.
And in addition.
But then he decided he was going to give me community service.
No, the house.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that, too. But so then he lowered that down to
30 days in jail.
2 years probation, community service, the $1,000 fine, and I had to go do 30 days in jail. And I said, this is my first conviction ever, and
the prosecutor said, no jail time, please.
And the judge says that he doesn't believe in the laws of Texas, so we're putting him in jail.
What laws? what exactly are we talking about here? What laws?
And he said, oh, by the way, in addition to that, you have 24 hours to move out of your house.
To move out of your house.
This judge got his manual out of a tricks box.
Can you imagine?
Silly rabbit.
The maximum penalty for this is $1,000 and whatever, the jail time. And in addition to that, he fined him his house.
$115,000 house.
Yeah.
And so then he said that we have he also gave me criminal trespass warnings, too, from the bench and said I couldn't go home.
You know, I you know what? At this point, I think we should give up the business of radio or doing research and just go get drunk. I mean, these people are in
La La Land. Or get a badge.
Or get a badge and get drunk. What the heck? Well, these people are flat out of their minds. Now, here's the problem that I'm having with this. When you have, and you can't even really classify this as a miscarriage of justice, because it was rigged. It was a rigging.
Yeah.
And, they wanted his house.
Yeah, you were you had the riggies and the riggers. And,
yeah, I have a fax from them that said that next time they throw me in jail, that they're going to set the bond so high that I have to sit in there so they could go and take the house.
He has a fax that Mac Martinez, the coordinator at Travis County, has promised that Rhett's bond will be raised to an amount that he can't afford to pay, and so when he's in jail, they'll take the house.
Okay.
In writing.
Now there's got to be.
And guess what happened as a result of that? Gisela Triana, the judge on it, increased Rhett's bond to $5,000 cash only.
That day.
And they came out and arrested him.
But you showed up for all your court appearances.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you weren't a flight risk.
Oh,
you were
no.
just a risk to their power, but... No respect for the law.
Well, what I didn't know is they were working with the FHA to get the house back. Because, see, they had such a problem with the house. And finally, they couldn't. And I told them, I said, you know, you can throw me in jail, but you're not taking the house. And I refused to move. And so finally, after that, they had to take me over to the federal court. And we had the U.S. Marshals come out. And they're the ones that took the guns. And they arrested me twice, threw me in jail twice.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't hear anything about gun confiscation or anything else.
No. It was gun confrontation, not Rhett had no guns. Never has had any.
All right.
Yeah, if I'd have had a gun, that'd have killed me the first time around.
No, they came to his house, the federal marshals, on private property in Austin, and arrested him, kicked him in the head, threw him down, hogtied him, kicked his cell phone down the street. I mean,
and took me up there
and hollered, shoot, 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 and just for effect.
And said I had to move out of the house. And so.
And Jack Dean said to him when he was taken down to federal court, the federal marshal at the time, if I have to come back, I will kill you.
No, federal marshal said that to you?
Yes, he did.
You know, I've suggested in the past, and you guys better start doing this. You know these little pocket-sized mini recorders? Y'all better start carrying these things and taping
this stuff. We've got lots of witnesses to all of this.
Oh, but it doesn't matter, you know, because what good is a witness? I mean, you can't cross-examine them anyhow. What difference does it make? Witnesses, they just get in the way and clutter up the courtroom.
So finally, the last time when the marshals came out and did it, what I did was I took every door off of the house. I took every light fixture out of the house. I took off the wall switches. I took the hot tub out of the back. I took the deck off of the back.
Did you burn it as you were on your way out?
No.
But
when the marshals showed up, we'd already moved out, and the first thing the marshals, all the neighbors were standing around watching, and the marshal looks around and says, does anybody have a front door?
But oh my God! So where is this thing at now?
It's over.
Oh yeah, it's over. He's out of his house. They also
took my van away from me that I paid $35,000 for, and they also, you know, they took my furniture away from me. They took my kids away from me. They took everything.
According to the state, justice has been served. They didn't leave you with a doggone thing.
That's right.
Well, they left me with the child support bill.
But it's going to be okay. See, and so what he did time for recently was as a result of the appellate court upheld Sam Robertson's decision.
When we went to the appellate court said, I said I want a free record because I'm indigent. And so they put it on hold for 2 years.
Wait a minute, the state just made you indigent.
Yeah.
And so you can qualify for their program.
And then what happened was is the state didn't put up a brief. They didn't even defend their position. And Matt Kidd, the judge over there, said, well, let's go ahead and we're going to uphold this.
Yeah. No brief, no transcript, no nothing. They abated it and gave the trial court a chance after a year and a half to put the transcript in. Sam Robertson wasn't about to let that transcript go in. So they said, oh, that's enough time. Now we're just gonna uphold the decision of Sam Robertson.
So you got carted over to a federal court because that was an FHA loan house.
Well, the United States sued him for the house.
Oh. Yeah, but the FHA thing, see, what happened is I corresponded with HUD the whole time, and they said, we don't care about the discrepancy between the notes they foreclosed on.
Yeah, we know they didn't foreclose on the note. In writing.
Yeah.
So they didn't even do their paperwork.
No, there is no paperwork at all. I mean, there is no...
Rent has paperwork that says we couldn't have foreclosed because we don't have that note.
And it also says...
From HUD.
HUD couldn't come back in and take it. What they had to do is they had to give it over back to the original mortgage company, who then had to go back in and sue, but they couldn't because it already exhausted their state court remedy. So they decided, well, we'll just get the U.S. Justice Department to come in and do it for us.
Justice. Yep, so that's where it is. So then he served his time, and now it's over, and now he...
And what happened was I was supposed to serve the 30 days, but then they decided that if I would just go in there and I would tell them I didn't show up for probation, it'd only make me serve 14. And then they did away with the probation, so I'm finally free.
Well, did they nail you for the community service?
No.
Nope. Everything.
Well, you know what really bothers me about this is when they put you in the orange jumpsuit or put you a little vest on you.
And
they
black, put you, and black and white stripes now.
Yeah, and put you on the side of the road, mm-hmm. and everybody driving down the road knows that you're some kind of criminal and you're out there on the chain gang, man.
That's right.
You know, is this cruel and unusual punishment? Because they're doing this with traffic cases. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the egregious...
It's called indentured servitude.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. What it's called is...
No.
That this is a slave country.
You said it was going to be okay. What's going to be okay about this whole thing? Let's not skip this over because I want to know how this is going to be made okay.
Well, if all else, I'll write the book.
Well,
yeah, I think that's the ultimate.
I would have burnt the damn house down by now because I guarantee you there's no insurance on this house. After all this paperwork mix up, there's probably no insurance.
Well,
when
they sold it to the next party, I got a copy of that, and they sold it. It was a corporation acting as an attorney for HUD, and I wrote it. I wrote another deal, and I said, you know, a corporation can't be an attorney. And Sam Sparks hauled me into jail for 4 days for that and said I had to sign a release.
I'm getting a headache. I'm getting a headache. So, this is almost past the statute of limitations. This happened in, what, 98, 99?
Oh, no. Fraud doesn't go away.
Actually started in 97.
On whose part?
Well, it doesn't go
but,
away.
But here's my problem with this. Okay, there has got to be mechanisms. We have judges that go off the deep end. Hold on a second. We have judges that go off the deep end. John Joe Gray's case, for instance, up there in,
Texas.
Yeah, East Texas. He was in a town that the judge had OD'd on the bench three times from an overdose of cocaine.
Right.
He was in this town trying to do his due diligence to wake people up as to what's going on. This guy's still a prisoner of his own property up there, but... Where is it that when they have errant judges, or at least the little criminals get too far out of their box and are too big, where do we go to say, foul, get this guy off the bench?
What's too far out of the box?
Well, apparently nothing. After hearing this story, apparently nothing. I'm surprised he didn't shoot you, bury you, and then charge your wife for the burial expense.
Well, had Rhett ever had a record of having a gun of any kind, which he had nothing. Rhett has never... ever owned any weapons except his computer.
Okay. There's a weapon, you terrorist.
And I think if Brett had ever had any, if they ever could have said that he had any weapon of any kind, they would have killed him.
Well, I've got the only appellate court decision up there that shows that the district court and the JP have concurrent jurisdiction. It's the only time ever in the history of Texas.
No, what you guys have demonstrated and shown me today, there's no help for the judicial process here in the state of Texas. What do we got to start doing with these judges? I mean, because if you have...
Do you want the solution?
Well, can we say it on air without getting
Absolutely.
Arrested? Okay, good.
These guys come out of the bar, the British Accreditation Registry in England, and they must at all times maintain the appearance of justice. They must maintain the appearance. And when they cross over the line... people just have to simply write a very serious complaint detailing the thing to the ends of the court in the city of London and tell them that this guy is out of line. He's no longer...
We got to write to London about a black-robed horse sitting on a bench here in Texas?
All of the judges all originate out of Britain. All of their power originates out of Britain. If you'll get on the ends of court... That'll show you where it comes up out of Britain. Now, you can also have over here the American ends of court.
I thought we beat the Brits, didn't we?
No.
We just founding fathers conspired. If you look, one of the ends of court, some of their the most famous people on there are the guys that, one of the guys drafted the Declaration of Independence, and five of their guys signed it.
But let me reiterate that. If you have a judge or an attorney of any kind that has a bar card, and you file a very serious complaint, I don't want it rambling on for 48,000 pages, a very serious complaint to show how this attorney or this judge has not shown, given the appearance of justice, and you send it to the head.
The bar counsel.
The bar counsel of the ends of the court in the city of London. I think that will eliminate that particular problem.
The ends of the court at the ends of the earth.
No, it's I-N-N, ends.
Oh, ends.
Yeah, like Chaucer.
Yeah.
The ends.
And the ends of court, what they're talking about is that they're a institution where the judges and attorneys can get together once a month to break bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say on their website.
Meat-eating retreat group.
Yeah, it's a meat-eating retreat group, and how else are we going to whoop on them, baby? But they must at all times maintain the appearance of justice. And so when they don't, we have a recourse.
Okay. Okay, here's this recourse thing again. Now we're in the inns in England, and then they can do something about this or not. In the meantime, this wacko freak of a judge is still seated on the bench.
Right, and he's got his buddies up at the appellate court saying, you know, no matter how bad you get, we're going to back you up. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the whole problem there.
Well, it's the mafia, man.
It's the mafia.
But worse.
But worse.
Well, you want to hear about the mafia? Damn.
No, the mafia just kills you. They'll just jail you. We'll be right back, folks.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting Network. Broadcasting.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Welcome back to the Insane Thursday here, where we're once again proving there is no rule of law. There's only graft, there's only payola, and the good old boy club. Now, Dan Abood is here, and, well, Dan, I'm just going to let you tell your story. And a reminder, we're coming up to a break here. We've got a short segment. If you international shortwave listeners out there, 7465 on your dial, I don't want you to miss a word of this, because, folks, what we're talking about here, this just doesn't happen to these people here. This is happening to people all across the United States. And here's the really bad thing about this. They used to have loopholes that you could jump through yourself. They used to build things into their system that you could use if you were smart enough, if you knew their game, that you could get them, only if you were good enough. But evidently, that's not good enough
anymore.
There
ain't no good anymore.
There ain't no good no more, and there ain't no hoops to jump through. Now Dan Abood, a couple of days ago, they carted off, and I read your lease to purchase agreement on a Mercedes, and you live in what city?
Well, the office is in Cedar Park.
Okay,
that's where my residence.
No, that's fine. He's good.
Okay.
And so you, now you've never been in trouble with law.
Well, yes, he's been in jail three times in the last.
Well, no, I'm talking about you're not
traffic
a criminal.
Tickets.
Yeah, they keep picking me up on traffic tickets.
Okay.
And that's what. And I didn't even get to participate in this last little fiasco because halfway through they were calling. You know, my brothers were there. We were all standing out there, and they called everybody's tag in the parking lot. They got everybody's driver's license, and they were going down the list. And if anybody had a warrant, they were going in the back of the cars.
Well,
they're just trying to get us out of the way.
Here in Round Rock, Texas, you'll see Round Rock's finest show up in parking lots running tags just for the heck of it when they're bored.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've heard this before, but okay.
But didn't Cedar Park say that it was public property because the gate was open?
Oh, yeah. My brother was out there trying to get these people off of his property. He called the sheriff.
Well,
wait,
let's back up
first
here.
Of all,
because I got a headache from the last
there
one.
Let me succinctly say.
Okay.
There was a Mercedes, and Dan made the mistake of driving it to work and leaving it out in open view. And now this is in a walled compound. So, we don't say compound. This is in a walled business facility. And so this Mustang drove in, is that correct? This Mustang convertible from Washington State drove into the gated area there.
Onto the private property.
Which is posted.
Pulled behind the Mercedes and got on the phone because they could hear him and said what?
I said, we're being assaulted. These people are attacking us. We need cops on site immediately. You need to send them now. They're you know, hurting us. And
they were sitting in their Mustang out there.
And a woman on their cell phones. We still, to this day, have no idea who these people were, what they represented or anything else.
But they had Washington State tags on their car?
Yeah, Washington State tags on their car.
And I later called the Cedar Park Police Department and asked the dispatcher, and they didn't make any notes of who that was.
No, they have no idea who it was.
So they responded to a call because they were being assaulted, and they don't know who these people were.
That's right.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
So then, Dan, you were there?
Well, I saw him come in. I was outside with the puppy. I saw him drive by, very strange, real slow, looking all around. So I ran inside, got the keys of the car, came out, and they were parked behind it. And I was going to move it. And my brother didn't want me to because that would have created quite a scene. I would have had to, like, hit their car to get it out of the way.
Oh, I've done that before when people have blocked me.
In hindsight, okay, I should have done it.
You should have. I've pulled a few teeth out of park gears and transmissions before because they wouldn't get out of my way.
We needed you that day, John.
Well, I'm telling you. Well, we're coming up to a break. Dan Abood, we'll get to your gosh. Folks, this is real stuff that's going on down here in Texas. Are you paying attention to this?
We haven't even gotten started
yet. Okay, we haven't gotten even got Nancy Andrews and her son, Rhett Peace, recently out of jail. Dan Abood. Recently out of jail. I feel left out here. Let me go punch a cop in the face so I can get thrown in jail and I'll come back.
It doesn't take that much.
It doesn't take that. All right. Folks, 7465, second hour of the National Intel Report. And, well, we'll get on with this insanity right after this. Stay tuned.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over a million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.